Hi, Dave.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, Dave. Do we curse on this podcast?
Yes, Eric. Yes, we do.
Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting.
Where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls.
Along with our journeys as collectors.
Hello and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting. We're back.
Yep. Here we are.
So it is the first episode of July, and we are nearing ever closer to our 1 year anniversary, Dave.
We are. It's
Which is
unbelievable.
It's been a wild year.
It's been something.
So last episode, we were very fortunate enough to have Jeremy Padower on the show. And everyone, thank you guys for listening. It seems like you guys really liked it. Of course, it was a joy to have Jeremy on with us. As Dave can attest to as well.
Yeah, it was really cool. Thank you, Jeremy, for coming aboard.
So this week it's just Dave and I. We're back to the standard fare episode. There has been a lot of news, with the virtual, Comic-Con stuff happening and toy releases. So we do not have a game prepared for you today. We do not have an edition of Name That Toy. You're going to have to wait until the next episode for that. Where Dave takes me to school. So, so just some housekeeping before we get rolling. If you guys missed it, we were on the last episode of Caster's Corner.
Yeah, we were
with Khalil, and that was an awesome, a good time. We recorded that a few weeks ago, and it was nice to see that come out.
It was surprisingly I was involved.
Yeah, Dave.
It was surprisingly me centric, but I don't want it to sound like I think anything should be me centric.
I think that's fair though. It was a Dave centric episode. You're a unique collector. We all have our idiosyncrasies, and you're gonna have to check it out on Caster's Corner to hear us talk to Khalil about the way that Dave collects
the enigma that is me,
the bearded enigma that is that is Dave Weinbrecht. Also at the time of the release of this episode, which will be Monday, July 6th. You could hear me on Calling All Creeps, which is the we've had Dave on the podcast. He was on our Halloween episode. He is the co-host of Calling All Creeps, which is a Goosebumps literary review / comedy podcast. And we had a wild good time talking about my favorite Goosebumps book, How I Got My Shrunken Head. So definitely check that out. We'll put a link to both Caster's Corner and Calling All Creeps in the show notes. Or if you're listening to this on YouTube, which I've learned that people do, check out the details in the video, and we'll have links to that. The other thing I wanted to mention, which I think is super cool, and I'm so happy you guys are doing it. And please, if you are a toy photographer and you're listening to this podcast, definitely check us out on Instagram and Twitter at AIC_podcast. But some of the toy photographers that we've come in contact with, Dave, they've started tagging us in their awesome photos. So, like, if you go to our tagged posts on Instagram, you'll see some awesome toy photography, some of which has even been featured on some of the brands that make the toys that are being photographed.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
You know, we do every Tuesday, we do Toy Photo Tuesday, where we highlight 4 to 5 toy photographers and, you know, and the work, the amazing art and work that they're doing. So if you are a toy photographer and you hear this, check us out on Instagram, tag us in your photos, so that way we can share them and help you spread your art. So yeah, definitely keep doing that. That's been a pleasant surprise that we totally did not ask for, but are so appreciative of. So definitely keep doing that.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Good job, everybody.
On today's episode,
we are going to be doing the normal news and hauls, and then we're going to kind of continue the conversation that we started on Caster's Corner about some of the rules that and the guardrails, if you will, that we set up for ourselves in order to keep our collections the way that we collect within reason.
we're doing that synergy thing.
Yeah, synergy. So yeah, let's hop into the news. Speaking of Jeremy Padour, a lot of what we talked about on the show regarding Jazzwares, the day the show came out, which was 2 Mondays ago, that week, a lot of that news that he broke on our show started to come to light. So the UFC figures that we talked about last episode, those are, in the last 2 weeks, those went up for pre-order on Ringside Collectibles. And then just this week, the prototype and mint on card prototype images have come out of the UFC figures. And remember, as Jeremy was saying on the show, these are going to be unique. They're not a normal. They are a 6-inch scale, but they are a slightly smaller 6-inch scale. Not necessarily in line like something like with something like a WWE Elite or the new Unrivaled collection coming from AEW and Jazzwares. They are a little bit smaller, paying homage to some of the Japanese figures of that same ilk. Dave, who is in the first wave? Do you happen to have that?
I do. You have Connor, Daniel Cormier, Donald Cerrone, John Jones, Max Holloway, Khabib, and it looks like Donald Cerrone is the chase with he's got two different shorts combos.
That's right. Now remember, these are going to be super, super, super limited in their availability. This will be kind of like a one-shot deal with this wave. Future waves of the UFC figures are coming, but they will kind of share parts from what we could gather from Jeremy. They will share parts and scale with the AEW line, which makes complete sense because those figures look incredible. Might as well share the parts, similar to how, you know, Hasbro does across lines or even Mattel. And while we're talking about the AEW figures, Dave, there's been a lot of news about them this week. In terms,
yeah, we saw
of...
the packaging, right? We've seen, yep, we saw the packaging. MOC shots.
And we even got some unboxing footage of the little bit of the bubbly. We got to see what that is going to look like, and again, that's a
ringside collectibles. Exclusive.
Yeah, and the packaging is super cool. We actually posted it on our Instagram. It looks like a champagne bottle.
It looks like packaging. The champagne that Chris Jericho came out with, the little bit, yeah, of the bubbly.
And it has, you know, it has the table, the dinnerware.
It has like the cold cut platter.
Yeah, it is a wild set. Along with that set, we saw the entire first wave of the AEW Unrivaled figures, the final production models, as well as the mint on card shots. And the two chase variants. So there is a chase for the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes.
Just Cody at this juncture.
Oh, just Cody. Sorry. Yes, just Cody. I'm so used to tagging him on Instagram, and he's American Nightmare Cody still on there. So like it just,
mm-hmm,
it's burned into my brain. And then the other variant, which is the more exclusive variant, right? It's like a 1 in 1,200 or something like that, the Chris Jericho
one?
They're
both very small numbers. I don't know the exact numbers. But
yeah, I think Cody is, I want to say Cody might be like 1 in 500.
Yeah, I feel like, I thought they were both 500, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think Jericho might be more than 500. I think he, because remember that, the only way you could get the title is either with the little bit of the bubbly set.
Or the Jericho chase.
Yeah, or if you land the chase.
Which the Jericho Chase also has an Inner Circle t-shirt.
Yeah, soft goods t-shirt, right?
Yeah.
The other thing that unfortunately with any kind of product announcement, you know, it being 2020 and the internet being the way that it is, there was a lot of a little bit of backlash to some of the initial images, including the announcement of the running change with Kenny Omega and the color of his hair and, you know, some of the skin tones. And as, you know, as Jeremy mentioned on the show, they're being very transparent with the process, including listening to the fan feedback, some of which saying that the sculpts didn't look right, and the paint jobs didn't look as good as the prototypes, and the skin color, and so on and so forth, that they actually went back to the drawing table and retook some of the photos to repost them with different lighting and you know, just to give a better representation of what the figures are. This product line from Jazzwares on these AEW figures, it is a very much so a labor of love. And Jeremy and his team clearly give a shit about what they're producing, so much so that they're really kind of leaving nothing to the imagination. They're showing all their cards. You know, they're being very honest about the process and about making sure that they put out the best possible product. But personally, you know, Dave and I both saw these figures at Toy Fair. Very early, like, hand-painted prototypes, but even at that junction, we were blown away with what we saw, and I think once everyone gets these in their hands, I think they're going to be pretty blown away, too.
Yeah, they're cool. I'm looking forward to picking them up. Yeah, it's cool to have more wrestling figures, so I'm certainly not going to be upset with what we have, but you know, as always with anything, you can't really kind of give a good kind of critical judgment of it until you actually are holding it. So you know, test shots always look like test shots, and we won't know until we see them, see the figures on shelves and in our hands. So, and that's something I'm certainly very much looking forward to.
And Dave keeps queuing me up here with these awesome segues. But speaking of test shots and prototypes, somebody who we follow on Instagram that we absolutely love, Junk Shop Dog, had something a little interesting to show off, didn't he, Dave?
Yeah. As opposed to getting into the, or being the kind of preeminent, I'll say, seller for the figure community for a lot of Japanese figures. He is making his own kind of line of figures. I believe he teased three, but he's only shown the Bruiser Brody thus far.
And they're in the style of what, the Shofubi figures?
That's the style it looks like he's going for with them. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And what an awesome figure to start out with. Bruiser Brody is such a he has such a storied past, an untimely finish to that past. If you haven't checked out the what's the show on Vice? There's an episode,
the Dark Side of the Ring on Bruiser Brody. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an upsetting end to his career, but his family, his legacy, they have a lot of respect for what he did, and as should anybody who's a fan of the sport. It's really great to see kind of a new figure in that vintage style of him. So we're looking forward to that. We already reached out to Junk Shop Dog, who's based out of Australia. He's super excited to get that figure out, and we'll be paying close attention to the progress on that for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely something that I'm very interested in.
Something else that we'll stick with wrestling for the time being, but some of the figures that were recently announced for Ringside are starting to come out. We're starting to see product land on people's doorstops. Can we call them our good friends, or just our friends over at the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast?
friends of the program, I guess.
Yeah, friend of the pod, Matt Cardona, got his shipment of his Edge heads, which of course he did get three of them, as well as the Triple H and China 2-pack.
Yeah, I know somebody else who ordered three of them as well. I ordered my three Edge heads.
Oh, I was gonna say, does his name rhyme with Ave Meimbrecht?
Sure.
Yeah, that's one where it's like, if you're buying that one, you're on the hook for three of them.
Yeah, there's like, there's no way you can't get the extra two. Like, there's just, that's the point of the figure, right?
Yeah. So for those who maybe are listening to us for the first time, Dave, what is this Edge Heads pack that we're talking about that's landing on people's doorstops?
Yeah. So long story short, when Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins debuted in WWE, they came out as Edge lookalikes and like diehard Edge fans, and they were called Edge Heads. They were always around with Edge. They did like kind of almost like the like a bait and switch type of gimmick where they would like pose as Edge. So it was cool. And this figure is celebrating that debut where it has the interchangeable heads for Ryder and Hawkins.
Yeah, and they look great. This goes back to something that happened on the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, where Matt thought that had proposed that this would be an awesome idea for a set
for months,
and go figure, yeah, for months. Especially once Edge was returning, because he'd been out with an injury for a while. And needless to say, they produced the figure right before the WWE lets him and Brian go, unfortunately. But the good thing is they still got this figure out, and it is an awesome little piece of collector's gold. This is a figure for, like, figure collectors.
Yeah, we'll definitely be talking about it more once it arrives at my house.
Yeah. So, Dave, tell us about Mr. T.
And this is another one where I'm going to give a shout-out to the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, because they went into great depth with the Mr. T figure, and talking about kind of what it is and what it isn't necessarily. But there is the this year's San Diego Comic-Con exclusive WWE figure, Mattel Elite, is Mr. T. And it is a Mr. T that is in kind of nothing that is inherently ring accurate. It's borrowing from a lot of stuff leading up to WrestleMania 1 and maybe even a little bit after. But it looks awesome. I mean, it was a no-brainer for me to pre-order. And I'm very much looking forward to getting that too, and I'm kind of debating, is it going to be something that I open, or because the packaging is so awesome looking, is it something that I'm going to keep in the package? And I haven't made that decision. I don't know if I will make that decision until I get it.
So the good news is, I don't know if you got a chance to watch Toy Shiz's video on this. The packaging is made in such a way that you can take him in and out of the package without disrupting it.
Okay.
So it's almost like a like an old school like Disney VHS clamshell sort of package.
Okay.
Where you can open it and there's a frosted plastic pane that's over him, and you can just pop that out and pop him out, and return him back to the package as frequently as you wish.
Okay.
Yeah. And it is. It's kind of like a greatest hits of Mr. T.
I mean, it seems like there might be some Mr. T figures coming more so. So, I mean, who knows?
That was the hint.
That's the rumor. That this is not going to be the only Mr. T. So, if that's the case, maybe, you know, it is worth keeping in the packaging. It's not like the Macho Man packaging last year, which I unfortunately missed out on, where, like, you can't see it unless you open it.
Yeah, that's the Slim Jim Macho Man, right?
Right.
Yeah, this year has been, so far, this summer with, you know, conventions and, you know, big public gatherings being canceled, there's been some really interesting takes on the process of getting these con exclusives. The other big one was actually announced the same day as the Mr. T exclusive was the Barbasol and Mattel Jurassic Park joint, which was the 3¾-inch Dennis Nedry that comes in a Barbasol can, and it's like Island Adventure Dennis Nedry with like the Hawaiian shirt, and he even comes, one of his accessories is a slice of pie with Barbasol on it.
Huh.
My favorite thing about this figure, so first of all, the can has audio effects. So, like, when you open it, it has audio and lighting effects and says lines from the movie. I do not collect Jurassic Park. I did not get this figure, and I'm... As each day goes on, I'm sad that I didn't get it, because it was $20, Entertainment Earth exclusive. 3¾-inch figures are kind of like my jam for the most part. And it's just such a, like, a toyetic toy and such an iconic movie moment that I'm really kicking myself for having not gotten it. And unlike some of these exclusives in years past, like, this probably would have been something that you had to go to Entertainment Earth's booth for at Comic-Con. And then whatever they didn't sell at Comic-Con, you know, they'd reserve a small amount for them for people online to get. Like, they haven't done they've done in years past. So seeing these con exclusives like the Mr. T, like the Dennis Nedry that I just mentioned from Mattel, seeing them both go online, I feel like it gave more people a chance at actually getting them. And, you know, while there was some issues with the website, Entertainment Earth did, they, for both the Dennis Nedry figure and Mr. T, there were some hiccups, not as bad as Dwight Gate.
Yeah.
which we'll get into in a moment. But yeah, it's interesting to see, like, how the world, including the toy world, is evolving to deal with a mass pandemic and how to get toys to people.
And I mean, we've seen this too with, you know, like WonderCon exclusives and Emerald City Comic Con, I believe, exclusives were the other ones that have been kind of, you know, virtual cons. I mean, we're seeing things kind of be approached a little bit differently as far as the exclusivity goes.
Yeah, unprecedented, I think, is like the word of the year. And, you know, I hope when Webster's Dictionary does that inevitable word of the year at the end of the year, either unprecedented or tumultuous, I feel like would be good word choices for the way that things are operating. But at the same time, it's nice to see that these you know, that the companies that we love, right, the companies that drive our collections and, you know, feed us these awesome products, are still finding ways to produce them, you know, in the quote-unquote new normal of what's going on. So, we mentioned Dwight Gate that is a Funko story. So I'm going to hand it over to Dave here.
Well, you were as equally involved in this. so
yeah,
there was a Funko Shop exclusive Dwight from The Office that was due out last Friday, I believe, was when that was supposed to come out. And it seems like nobody was able to order it because the website would not charge shipping. So everybody was like perpetually stuck trying to select shipping that didn't exist. And, you know, Funko had redone their website, so it kind of was a little bit of collateral damage from that. But yeah, it was a very frustrating Friday for that.
Oh man, that was so, not to get into too deeply into our personal lives, but, my job allows me to work. I'm working from home during this, this situation. So, when Dave had to go back to work, I got the text message like, hey, could you try to grab this Dwight for me? So I spent the next 2.5, maybe almost 3 hours with a tab open on the side of my browser, perpetually spinning in shipping mode, going back in and refreshing periodically to then go back to the tab, to see that it said sold out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Funko actually published a message on, I think it was either Twitter or Facebook, but they published a message saying that unfortunately there was a website issue, and we're still waiting to see what's going to happen with that figure. There hasn't been an announcement in terms of a relaunch. As far as Dave and I know, I don't believe anybody was able to get through and get it. We could be wrong. If we're wrong, let us know. If you were able to get one, we'd love to hear how that happened and how that worked out for you. If you got a shipping notification, you know, just let us know so that way we have a little bit more insight into Dwightgate.
Yeah.
As far as we know, no one was able to get that Funko.
Yeah. Which also Funko announced a whole array of San Diego Comic-Con at home exclusives. Lots. Another Dwight, coincidentally.
Yep.
Scott Pilgrim.
Now, there's one you're particularly excited about.
The Scott Pilgrim one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just another, it's Wallace from Scott Pilgrim versus the World, so that's cool. That's one I gotta pick up. Invader Zim as well. That one's cool.
Oh, that's right. Now, there's one that they announced that I am actually excited for. And you know, I don't really collect the pops. I have a couple.
Yeah.
Most of them are gifts. We didn't talk about this. Which is the one you think I'm excited for?
I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. It's a Marvel one.
Is it Deadpool from
Shit. It is absolutely shitty Deadpool.
Yeah.
It is absolutely, which is
X-Men Origins Wolverine Deadpool, which I saw it and I started laughing. So mission accomplished.
Me too. Yeah, I nearly pissed my pants because the last time I saw that character was when Ryan Reynolds' proper Deadpool kills him in the credit sequence of Deadpool 2. Spoilers. Yeah, I saw that and I laughed. And then I had two questions. The first one being, did anyone actually want this? Question number one.
And the answer to question number two is, or the answer to that is probably everybody. Because it's something where it's so infamous at this point that it's become almost revered in a way, but in like a ha-ha kind of way, I feel.
Yeah, it is, and then my second question was, who was the brilliant mind behind choosing this one? Because it is absolutely the biggest troll pop ever.
It's fantastic.
And X-Men is celebrating their anniversary of their films. The other X-Men film pop that they announced is the criminally underrated performance by Alan Cumming as Nightcrawler.
Yeah, the Nightcrawler one is cool. And I think there's a whole like array of those coming out, so just from the various movies.
Yeah. Some of the other pops that I think are really cool, only because I've kind of caught the bug on the show. I've been watching a lot of My Hero Academia, and they announced a series of pops for My Hero Academia. Some are exclusive as part of the virtual con release, and then others are just kind of coming. When we get into halls next, I'll get into some of what I've been picking up as in terms of My Hero Academia. But
what I was gonna say with the My Hero Academia is just knowing from collecting pops that those are very popular.
I blame McFarlane for the fact that I started watching the show. When we had Ty Butler from McFarlane on a few episodes ago, he mentioned in particular that the All Might figure, who's one of the main characters in the show, had a unique twist on how they're handling torso articulation. And he went on super clearance at GameStop. And when I say super clearance, I paid $1.50 for him.
Okay.
And he's a $22 figure. So I was like, shit, for $1.50, you know, like, I at least want to see what Ty was talking about. I love what McFarlane is doing with, like, all their other lines. Like, I love the classic McFarlane figures. Like, let me check it out. And as I was looking at the figure, I wanted to know a little bit about the show in order to review him properly on our YouTube channel. So I watched the first episode, and then I watched the second episode, and then I watched the third episode, and I immediately fell in love with the main character, Izuku Midoriya, and eventually the main villain who I picked up, and those are the three that I have. So those are three of the things that I've picked up recently that I'm absolutely in love with. I'm actually staring at my Izuku Midoriya figure right now, and just... it's such a good show. Great figure line. I really hope they stick with that line. McFarlane has an interesting past with anime figures. You know, they had that 3D animation from Japan line back in like the late 90s, where those Akira figures are from. And they do such a nice job with figures like that. So very, very excited to get those. Some of the other things that I've picked up, I think I mentioned that I had ordered the Ghostbusters Plasma series. Well, they came in, and I'm working on that unboxing now. Since I posted on our Instagram what unboxing you wanted to see next, and you guys all said Ghostbusters, so I'm working on it. I also have been taking a dive into a little bit of the vintage area. I wanted a Movie Maniacs Edward Scissorhands from McFarlane from back in the day, and I found somebody on Mercari had him and Ichabod Crane from Sleepy Hollow. I made them an offer for $12, and they accepted it, and it was $12 with free shipping, and they sent me both Ichabod Crane, quote-unquote new in box, but the box was completely thrashed. I was going to open them anyway, so it didn't matter, and then a Lucy Edward Scissorhands. So happy to have added them to my collection. And then in terms of other hauls, Dave, I have been super busy going through all of the toys that I rediscovered at Mom's house. So much so that I found a really old NECA Jack Skellington that I'd completely forgotten that I had. As well as my Who Framed Roger Rabbit figures from LJN, wherein I'm missing Roger Rabbit, so I ordered him off of eBay. And all of the Jack's Bone Crunchers that you were helping me sort through last weekend and try to figure out, make heads or tails of some of the people I couldn't remember and... some of those figures. So I've been taking the time to catalog all of these things in Google Sheets and kind of keep track of who I have, and you know, eventually one day grand plans to display all of these somewhere, but we'll see what happens with that. How about you with hauls? What have you been up to?
I bought stuff. There's a bunch. So the first one I talk about it in greater detail in the unboxing video. Teaser, or spoiler alert, that's coming soon. But the McFarlane Detective Comics number 1000 Batman variant. I'm very excited about that. The blue and gray Batman. He is right now next to Superman and Wonder Woman on my printer. That's a great figure, and you'll hear more about that, I guess, this week. Also was able to pick up Lacey Evans, John Cena, and Christian from WWE Elite series. So those are cool. I have not opened those yet. I'm very much looking forward to doing those, opening those. I believe that is series 75 or 76. I have to look.
I think it's 76.
76. Yeah, it's 76. I almost lose track of which series is which because they all have been coming into stores so randomly.
And they've announced like up to, I feel like they're on like 78 or 79 at this point.
They've announced stuff from little bits and pieces from different series.
Yeah.
But I feel like 79 is the most recent full series that's been announced. See, what else did I get? I think that's about all as far as anything that I got. There was a bunch of like pre-order stuff still. Like the Decade of Domination Series 2 pre-order came out and I pre-ordered those. Of course, Mr. T. I pre-ordered that Diamond Select Gentle Giant Tron Comic-Con exclusive. New figures have been kind of showing up online at Target and Walmart, and I was able to get the Top Picks Seth Rollins with comes with the tag team title and the Intercontinental title, so I was able to pick that one up. But that's about it for me. You know, I'm still kind of, you know, I look at the Plasma Series Ghostbusters and then I'm like, eh, maybe not today, and eh, maybe today, I don't know. So I might just need to see yours out.
Well, I think this is a good way to segue into kind of our rules, right?
Yeah. And we talked about a little bit of rule talk on the Cornercast.
I feel like we both kind of go through these kind of ebbs and flows where like we have really strict rules. Like, I know when we started doing this podcast, my rules were strictly 3¾-inch Star Wars figures and MCU Marvel Legends. That was pretty much all I was collecting at that point, nearly a year ago. As I say that, I'm looking at non-MCU Marvel Legends. I'm looking at McFarlane DC Multiverse. I'm looking at McFarlane My Hero Academia, vintage McFarlane figures, Mortal Kombat, shit. I even have some NECA figures now. yeah. And now not to mention vintage toys. So I have some vintage LJNs from Roger Rabbit, as well as all the vintage stuff that I found, again, going through, going through mom's basement. But I'm going to say it right here. I'm going to put it out. These are my current rules as of today, July. What are we? July 2nd, right?
Yes.
Yeah. As of July 2nd, 2020, I am collecting, Marvel Legends. MCU. I actually, in fact, nearly have all of the MCU characters represented. The only exceptions to my MCU rule, I am getting a handful of Spider-Man, the animated series figures that mean something to me. They were a really big part of my childhood. I do have pre-ordered the Spider-Man retro, the Green Goblin retro, and the Mary Jane / Gwen Stacy retro figures. I do have a miniature little Spider-Man animated part of my display with Venom and Carnage, and the Sandman so graciously provided to us by Diamond Select Toys. So that is my one little venture outside of the MCU. I'm going to count the Foxverse figures that I would like to get as part of kind of that movie world. I would really like the Deadpool, the Cable, the Negasonic, the Domino, and I do have one of the Hugh Jackman Wolverines pre-ordered. So that's my Marvel Legends thing. As far as everything else, as far as like the NECA and the McFarlane stuff goes, my rule with that is a little bit loose at the moment, because I'm kind of putting together a little bit of like a movie display. So I have the Plasma series from Ghostbusters. I have, as I mentioned, like a few NECA and a few Movie Maniacs figures. And the way that I'm looking at that is kind of like this sci-fi / horror movie display. So like I have Ripley in an Alien, I have Ash from Evil Dead 2, I have the Headless Horseman and Ichabod Crane, Jack Skellington, Leatherface, Freddy, Jason, and Michael Myers, and Godzilla, and Chucky. Like I have all of them kind of in one display together, and I'm probably gonna put the Ghostbusters with them. And in terms of the McFarlane figures, I think the way that I'm looking at it is I'm not really super big into the DC universe, and I have the Wonder Woman figure, I have the two Arkham Batman and Joker figures, I have Superman, I have Nightwing, and that's, I mean, unless they make like a proper Doomsday, which we haven't seen yet, they are making that the like
Devastator, what if Batman, right?
Yeah, Devastator, yeah. Who is basically like a Doomsday mold.
It's a Doomsday Batman.
Yeah.
Because that's from Metals.
Yeah, from Metals. I won't be getting that figure because I am holding out hope that if that figure sells really well, maybe they'll put out a Doomsday. At which point I would pick up that. But in terms of like the DC stuff, like I love what they're doing. It doesn't really resonate with me. You know, I haven't really been a DC guy in a long time. So I think I'm kind of good with that. I have the two Mortal Kombat figures that I like. I have a bunch of the vintage McFarlane stuff that I'd want. You know, we both have that Kickstarter Spawn coming. There are a couple figures from My Hero Academia, if they made in the line, that I would totally get. If they make, there's this one character called Eraser. He's one of their teachers at superhero school. Aizawa is his name. If they make that figure, I'm in. Totally in for that figure. But yeah. So I think that's kind of where I'm at with the rules. And I'm totally caught up with the 3¾ Star Wars figures. I'm super stoked that Hasbro made some announcements for the vintage collection, you know, that are outside of that 6-inch realm. So, you know, staying positive and hoping that there's some more of those coming down the pipeline for me. But it's really nice to kind of feel caught up with a line for once, which is where I'm at with that. So I also have to consider, Dave, the space that I have in terms of what I have to display, because I already have too much to display. I can't put it all at once. I'm constantly like rotating stuff out. I don't have a proper toy room. My toy space is maybe I literally, what boils down to like maybe 10 feet of display area, which is not a whole hell of a lot. So I'm keeping that space in mind. But that's where I'm at with rules right now. How about you?
Yeah, I have literally nowhere to put anything right now, so, you know, display is very much on the back burner at this point. So, you know, I'll start with the big one, and that's Funko Pop. That went from being just WWE to just, you know, kind of blowing up completely out of proportion for me. to the point where it just went to, you know, horror movies. Okay, other movies. You know,
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas. But then, you know, I started to get some of the park stuff, and that's turned into Haunted Mansion. You know, like I have all of the Mad Max Fury Road pops. But so for me, it's just properties that hold significance, you know, whether it's wrestling, whether it's, you know, the child, whether it's TV shows, you know, Parks and Rec, you know, there are musician ones. So I've picked up some of the pop music, like, you know, Motley Crue or, Kiss.
You have Ghost?
Yeah, the Ghost ones thus far. You know, so it's a little all over the place. Actually, the properties that I have the fewest of are comics for Pop, Funko Pop, just because there's so many. Like, I have a few characters, but even that is not a lot.
So, like...
And Star Wars. Star Wars, I don't have many at all. I have Porgs. I have Rey and Poe. And I have...
The child. You know, I don't want to... finish going through your rules. I have a question for you, but finish what your other lines are at the moment.
You know, for Lego, it has to just be a set that I want. A set that I like. I don't have, like, I don't just get Star Wars. I have a couple Star Wars. You know, I have the 80, you know, the Batman, the original Batmobile, the 89 Batmobile. I have, you know, the Mickey Mouse Steamboat Willie set. I have Porg. You know, I have any set that had a Porg except for the Millennium Falcon, because, yeah, I just can't get the Millennium Falcon.
Well, as we've established, you are a Porg mark.
Yes, that is accurate. You know, as far as WWE figures and, you know, in turn AEW figures and any of the other kind of announced wrestling figures that are coming out, a lot of those have been complete waves because there are wrestlers that I would want to collect in those waves. But there are some waves where it's like, hey, I only want like two or three of these. So it's really just dependent on who it is. There are some where I have picked up both the Chase and the Standard. So that's, you know, that's pretty much what it is. It just has to be, you know, something eye-catching or somebody that I like, you know, whether it's like, you know, really great gear representation or a really great moment, like a specific moment where, you know, like Seth Rollins, one of the more recent Seth Rollins ones was when he won the Royal Rumble in Chicago Bears themed gear, because I'm a Chicago Bears fan. So that was like the Seth Rollins that I wanted. So stuff like that.
Yeah, that was the one that came to mind when you were saying that.
Yeah. So that's, you know, if it's either got to be a character that I like or a representation of a specific moment. So there are, you know, duplicates that I have because there have been different incarnations of the Hardys over time, or, you know, people in different gear. So that all comes into play.
I have that same problem with some of the Marvel Legends, you know, because like I think I have like four different Thors, right? Because I have,
or Captain America, you know, like,
yeah, I have the Endgame Captain America where he's got Mjolnir. I have the World War II one. I have the Infinity War one, and I have the original Avengers appearance one. I'm on the fence about getting
Winter Soldier's the best Captain America outfit, like the costume.
It It is, but the figure is kind of, like, kind of bad.
Okay.
It was before they got, like, the good faces, like, the good heads and face sculpts. Like, they didn't have Chris Evans' likeness. So it's just, like, it's like a comic book Captain America head on a film body.
Okay.
And, like, yeah, I have enough from buying Captain America so many damn times. Like, I have enough, like, unmasked heads. So I could very easily, you know,
yeah, but you need that. You need that matte helmet, though, that he had. Like, that's...
Exactly. And I mean, honestly, in that movie, you gotta remember, too, he wears the Winter Soldier Captain America outfit for only the first part of the movie. Because mm-hmm. he goes back to the museum and steals the World War II outfit and puts that back on for, like, the climax of the movie. So, you know, I could still put him and, you know, have him fighting Bucky in the World War II outfit, and it's technically accurate if I ever wanted that for my shelf. So, like, those are things, though, that I consider, right? So, like, you know, the same thing with a wrestler outfit. You know, I try to think of, you know, bang for my buck, right? So, like, I have, you know, I also have a couple of Iron Men, but I don't have them all. You know, I have the Iron Man suits to me that are, like, iconic and representative. So, like, I mm-hmm. have the one from the first Avengers film, which I think is, like, the most, like, comic booky looking Iron Man outfit. You know, that one that he wears during the incident in New York. And then I have the Endgame one. I have the Infinity War one. And then I have the one from Iron Man 3 with, like, the... It almost looks like the War Machine armor, but it has, like, the painted flame effects on it. Okay. Like, it's like a hot rod Iron Man outfit.
Yeah.
I have that. You know, so... But then there are other characters where, you know, it's like, not necessary. I have... you know, one Scarlet Witch, because Wanda in the red trench coat with the fingerless gloves, like, that's Wanda, that's MCU Wanda, I'm good. You know, same with you know, somebody like Doctor Strange. Doesn't matter that the cape changed a little bit from, you know, the Doctor Strange movie to Infinity War. You know, the Infinity War Doctor Strange is representative of that character. It's good.
Yeah, it's like Star-Lord. He's just, he looks like Star-Lord all the time.
Or yeah, he either has a long jacket or a short jacket.
Really,
yeah.
The only Guardian that you need to kind of, that changed it in any form or fashion would be Groot and Rocket, because they've had different outfits.
Yeah. Well, technically, I do have two different Star-Lords. I do have Star-Lord with the short coat and the long coat.
Yeah.
So I do have that represented, but Drax would be the best example of, like, a one done. You know, shirtless green Batista, you know, is shirtless green Batista.
Mm-hmm.
What I was going to ask you before with your rules, what was the last thing that kind of came up that really kind of took you for a loop and made you change your rules?
The last thing that made me change my rules, I mean, the sheer volume of wrestling figures that have been announced and released, but otherwise, well, the one that I didn't really get into, and this is something, I guess, that makes sense when you think of the Micromaniacs and potentially Ghostbusters and even DC Multiverse, is getting in at the ground floor. Getting in when a line is brand new. You know, if I had gotten into WWE Elites 10 years ago, you know, that would be, I might be, you know, have a different story. I might have, you know, one of everybody, or maybe everybody, I don't know. But, you know, there's, getting in kind of when I got in is different from something like DC Multiverse, where, okay, this is a new line. I can really kind of just decide to collect what I want to collect. And so, for DC Multiverse, I decided I have really two things that I want. And, you know, there's, like, kind of, like, I'll say a posability component to go with that, but I've really ultimately decided on two things. Movie characters that I like, So, you know, Wonder Woman, I have Wonder Woman 84. Like, I would love an Aquaman. I would love a Shazam. I would love a Harley. Like a Margot Robbie Harley.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting into even older DC movies, like, that's... those are the ones that I would collect.
If they made a Christopher Reeve Superman, I'd be so mad that I bought this the Superman that I have.
Well, not necessarily, because I have, like, a now number two for it, and that's where kind of the variant Batman comes in. I want the, you know, this line's version of some of those Kenner superpowers.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that is, having just gone through the bin of toys... and finding that superpowers, Batman. When I found the variant Batman in Walmart, picking it up, I actually, like, I got a little giddy. Like, I not that I wanted, like, to keep it for me, because I'm completely, you know, satisfied with my Arkham Batman, which is my favorite Batman. Mm-hmm. But it is neat. Like, it is it's a 7-inch throwback to that little tiny Kenner figure.
Yeah, it is very much a reasonable facsimile of that figure.
Like, down to, like, the soft blue and, like, the giant bat symbol on the chest. Like, yeah. It's
and so that's yeah. So I have, like, the Superman that effectively goes with that. The Action Comics 1000 Superman is, you know, unchanged Superman, basically.
Fair.
So, you know, that's the route I'm going to take. Like, I want, like, old school Robin. I want, or I'd even take a Tim Drake Robin.
Oh my god, if they make short shorts and, like, Peter Pan shoes Robin, I will die.
Yeah, I would want something like that, or I would want, like... like, even, like, original Tim Drake costume Robin.
Yeah.
I would, you know... basically, like, you know, even old-school comic Wonder Woman. Like, things like that would be... so if it's kind of, like, the version of the superpowers. Characters that are in kind of that... yeah, in that kind of realm, so... you know, basically has to be almost like, you know, childhood comics nostalgia.
Yeah, I mean, I'm... see, Marvel Legends was...
yeah, if I went down that rabbit hole with Marvel Legends, I'd be in the same boat you are. Like, we would have the same things, just because I love the MCU. But I didn't get in time, and that's not something... especially considering, like, you know, if I wanted the... WrestleMania 29 CM Punk. Like, that's a $100 figure. So, I can't do that with multiple lines. I just can't.
And that's the dragon I'm currently chasing. No pun intended, because the only two figures I'm missing from the MCU... like, I have no joke. At this point, if they have made an MCU figure for a character... I have the character represented. The only ones I am missing, technically, if you want to count Bruce Banner, but I have two different Hulks, so I consider that box checked, are Danny Rand from the Netflix Iron Fist and Colleen Wing from the Netflix Iron Fist. And the only two... those figures were only made as part of a very now sought-after San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. And if I want those figures... I'm looking at, like, 200... I'm looking at big boy purchase. I'm looking at, like, 250-plus bucks to get the two of them. And, like, you know, we have a Shang-Chi movie coming out in the near future. And if we know anything about the Shang-Chi comics, is that him and Iron Fist are very much so in the same world. So, like, will Danny Rand be coming back? Like, will it be that Danny Rand?
Mm-hmm.
Will I have spent $300 for a figure that gets retconned out? And I can't do it.
Or, you know, will there be, you know, there's another Spider-Man coming. There's another Doctor Strange coming. There's the TV shows coming.
Yep.
So, Yeah, that's... It's gonna be a lot, and, you know, the only other Marvel Legend figure that I would have wanted would have been Ghost Rider. And, you know, if there's a MCU Ghost Rider, maybe I'll pick that up. But, you know, because there was the one with the motorcycle that came out a while ago, and I'm like, I held it in my hands many times, and I'm like, you know what? I don't think I need to start this.
Yeah, no, it is... I mean, there are enough people in the toy community that call what we do plastic crack, and the thing is, once you have even a little bit of space to display these things, and you start putting them together, and you're like, oh man, you know, I said I was only going to get, you know, the good guys, but like, wouldn't it look really cool if I had the Guardians of the Galaxy figures to display with, or wouldn't it look really cool if I had Ronin to display with the Guardians, or like Thanos to put next to Captain America, and the next thing you know, you've completed the entire world. I mean, never in a million years did I think I was going to have the Hulkbuster figure and the friggin' Collector Grandmaster 2-pack from San Diego Comic-Con last year. Whoop! Guess what I got?
Yeah.
I think it's important to have rules and to be realistic, but at the same time, I think it's okay to kind of go outside of those rules sometimes. Like, I'm staring at these Ghostbusters figures, and to your point, you know, ground floor, I got the whole wave. You know, if they make more figures and, you know, the next wave is like Finn Wolfhard and what's his face?
Paul Rudd.
Like, do I need those figures? Maybe. You know, if the movie's really, really good and I want to get them, sure. But, like, I hope that, you know, future waves, like, I would love a Lewis Tully, you know, to go with the rest of these. I'd love a Vigo, you know, or a Janosch figure. But, like...
I feel like Vigo would have to be the Build-A-Figure for Ghostbusters too.
Yeah, definitely. But, like, do I need the Ghostbusters again in their gray suits with, like, the slime cannons? Not really. Like, I have the iconic Ghostbusters. So, like... You know, that's where I would draw the line for that. Like, mm-hmm. Do I need two sets of the Ghostbusters? Absolutely not. If Vigo is the Build-A-Figure for that wave, I'm kind of assed out. I'll probably be buying, like, selling the Ghostbusters at that point, aftermarket. But, you know, this is the game that we play, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything that... We talked a little bit about the Ghostbusters, but is there anything else that you personally... right now, there is nothing I'm on the fence with. Like, everything that I'm getting, I'm getting. And, like, I'm kind of have, like, my sights set on what I need. Is there anything that you have your sights set on that you're kind of thinking about dipping your toe into, outside of the Ghostbusters? Because we've talked enough about those.
That's really it. There's nothing else really out, you know? I can't get in as much as I enjoy and appreciate from a distance, like the NECA figures. That's just, I'm too much into horror movies to even think about it.
I will say that's the biggest mistake I've made. Biggest mistake I've made.
Because you know how I would be. Like, I couldn't just get Michael. I would need Halloween 2 Michael. I would need Halloween Michael. I would need all the Jasons. I would need all the Freddies. Like, there's just no end. So, and that,
they're so good.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Good they're figures. Great figures. But it's not something I would get. You know, like, for example, the Diamond Trons. There's three figures. There's four figures.
Yeah.
Done. I did it.
Yeah, who else are they going to make unless they make Tron Legacy figures? At which point, who else are they going to make? Three more figures?
Yeah.
You know, you'd get a Rinsler, you'd get a like Old Man Flynn maybe. And you'd get his kid.
You'd get Korra, you would get
Oh, and Korra. Yeah.
I would want CGI Clue. yeah, I would actually, good, you know who I would figure. Want? I would want a Michael Sheen figure. With the cane, I would want it.
Okay, fair. All right, well, Dave, I think we're gonna wrap it up for the evening.
Yes.
What do you say? I think we're gonna call it. If there's anything we mentioned in the episode that that you want to talk to us about, you know, leave us a comment on social media. And if you liked what you heard on this episode and you just want to talk about your toys and tell us what you're really into, go leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'll read it and we'll talk about it on the show. Nobody's done it yet. I know you guys listen. We'd love to hear from you. We really would. So let us know what you think. And I guess until next time, Dave, let's send it off.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.